Tom Armstrong, I appreciate you inviting us here.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure, Jerry. I appreciate it.
And we've enjoyed it, Earth Station Roswell. We had you over at Sally Port at our hotel room, and you told us about it last year. We broke that story pretty much. It was incredible. I know some people in Roswell had not realized even what you were planning, but now almost everybody's pretty much aware.
Well, they're getting there. In fact, Jerry, you were the first to break the story. When Gene Frazier and I started this project about 2 years ago, we've been working diligently behind the scenes, working on the details, working on the macro view, the micro view of what we wanted, all the little details, all the way down to the menu, the color scheme. When we started working on that, we knew that it would be premature to just sort of go down to the music store and buy a trumpet and start blowing our own horn, because we just weren't ready yet. But when we had a chance to be on your show, we said, "Hey, that's Jerry Pippin. I mean, there's nobody else that's bigger than that."
Thanks for the nice compliment. Anyway, Gene Frazier, I've really enjoyed meeting you personally. And Tom, Gene's done quite a few things. You kind of brought it up that he's handled a lot of major projects, but I've talked to him about some names and places, and he's been a mover and shaker in this business for a long time.
More than a mover and shaker. You talk about a guy who's got a tremendous depth of knowledge, experience, and intelligence. And matter of fact, he makes me, feel like a monkey at times. He's so smart. He really is.
Well, now, Gene, you've been involved in entertainment projects for a long time with lots of major names. I don't know if we want to name drop or not, but if they've seen it, you've probably had part of the design, at least some of the work, on many of these major places.
I've been to a lot of places. I have 38 years worth now.
And you talk about some of these chain restaurants. You actually helped develop a lot of those things.
Development for many. I did many out in San Francisco, where I originally hailed from or started from, and most of my education was out there in California. And a lot of the major buildings I did, I'm kind of working backwards, you might say. The high-rise buildings that I worked on, large communities I worked on, many medical buildings, convalescent hospital centers, and large projects. And then I got involved in entertainment, wanted to do more entertainment, nightclubs and restaurants and mall and shopping. And you start working into a smaller building complex. And then finally I was recruited to Dallas to work for Norman Brinker to develop an alternate concept for the steak and ale restaurants that were successful. And had just joined Pillsbury, become a wholly owned subsidiary of Pillsbury, it was Steak and Ale Restaurants of America, and developed and designed a restaurant chain called Bennigan's Tavern, and then became known as the Bennigan's Man, more or less. And you see my face is still painted on some of the buildings out there and etched in the glass. So I worked my way from larger buildings to smaller buildings. But we always used to say, "Well, we've got 400 up to 600. I says, "If you take all of those and put them in one place, then it appears like a large project."
Well, Tom, he's talking about putting them in a large place. That's exactly what we're talking about here. Let's go over for people who haven't heard that interview we did last year and flesh it out what you're really planning on doing now. This is really a destination resort with all kinds of state-of-the-art things happening, right?
Yes, it is. And let me give you a thumbnail sketch of some of the major buildings or the major retail spaces that we'll have on the complex. For those listeners, it is a UFO hotel restaurant resort complex. And when I say complex, that's because not only do we have the hotel and the restaurant with meeting rooms and spa and all those kinds of amenities, but we also have a 1,000-seat indoor concert hall. We have a 400-seat sci-fi movie theater. We have a very large building that's called Earthlings RV Shop, where you can find things from all over New Mexico, where most people who are traveling may want something that's not necessarily UFO or alien related, but they would want something from New Mexico. And then we're going to have a building which is called the Hangar, and that's over 12,000 square feet with lots of shops and stores. And inside the Hangar would be the Big Dipper Deli, the Galactic Grill, Celestial Cravings and Chocolates and Cookies, the Cosmic Coffee Corner, many other buildings, many other shops and stores within these buildings. So somewhere along the line, everybody who's looking for an experience, everybody's looking for a fun time, everybody's looking to come to Roswell, and if nothing else, just buy a trinket or a t-shirt to take home, they can do that. But Basically, they will come, they can be entertained, they can take in a movie, they can take in lectures, they can have authors sign books for them, they can shop.
The shops, I understand, you guys are actually doing a little branding with that too. You're designing a logo, and even the chocolate candy is going to have your logo on it, huh?
We've branded all of the retail stores that we'll have on the entire resort complex, and we've gone beyond that. We've already started securing the branding for our clothing line, for chocolates, and many other things also.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, well, you know, these guys are talking about something really tremendous, and there is one reason we asked Gene to come along to let people know you guys are capable of pulling this off. And a major bank, which we're not going to name, has entered into a financing agreement with you for part of it. And there's all that information on your website, I think, about how you're going to go out. And there might be some good investments in it. I don't know. They just need to check and do it all. But the reason I wanted to get you on the air right now and talk about this is we've been broadcasting from this little room here that's really nice. It's decked out and... you know, I say a little room is pretty big, actually, but you have each one of the things you're going to have at the Roswell Earth Station that you kind of ticked off a lot of them, but they can come and actually see the blueprints even. And I heard you talking, both of you guys. All they have to say is, hey, well, what's the deal here? And you guys explain the whole program to them. You take time with each one. I've noticed that.
Well, it's become our passion and our life goal. It really has.
Like, for instance, the hangar. What is that exactly?
Well, it's called the hangar. It's absolutely beautiful building that's sort of shaped a little bit like a squeezed triangle with peaked corners and golden-colored glass. But inside that hangar, which has lots of shops and stores, has a center icon, a centerpiece, and it's a 40-foot diameter UFO inside. That's why it's called the hangar. And people can actually go up inside the UFO and look around.
Now, Gene, I was listening to you give a little demonstration of your blueprints, and it must be pretty interesting for a fellow who designs things to be able to lay out these things and explain them to a layman, because there's a lot of work goes into this, the electrical work, the entertainment, the plumbing, and you're using state-of-the-art lighting and all kinds of things. Did I hear you correctly that you're going to have a light show or display that makes it look like the major part of the hotel is taking off every night?
Yeah, the whole craft, that's part of the light show.
Uh-huh.
The whole complex is to be like a station, just like we described, Earth station, just like you would a moon base. So everything, the entire complex has to work like a watch. Everything has to tie together, and that's what it does. And when it all comes on, it'll appear like actually there's movement. The ship itself has chase lights, and it'll be illuminated. The whole project is illuminated with glass bead finish on it, so it's projected with images. And then we have a night show nightly, which will be produced from the magical sphere that's atop the comm tower, 100-foot tower with an 8-foot diameter sphere on the top, and fog rolling over it and holographic projections emanating from it. And that'll be part of the entertainment that's inside the crater. They'll see preview images. The entire site will be covered with LED information like you see in Las Vegas, naturally.
Yeah.
We'll have the world's largest, or the world's only, in the Aurora Theater, LED screen for motion picture screening and presentation, rather than a projected screen.
I understand, Tom and Gene, that this state-of-the-art screen, you actually use it for meetings and keep the lights on even.
You can, yes. The entire LED screen behind the lecturer, all lit up with perhaps whatever images they want to show.
Now, this is going to be quite a complex. You have, and we talked in great detail about some of your plans last year, Tom. In fact, we talked about your background, so we're not slighting you. They can listen to that interview. It's still there to see. Both of you guys have lots of experience. That's the reason I wanted to get Gene on and talk to him about what he was doing. You may not realize it, but I think both of you guys are pilots, right? I mean, I'm talking about the audience.
We're both pilots, both like motorcycles.
And you have a motorcycle unique parking area, or I don't know why. Describe what that's about.
I mean, I ride a motorcycle, and I know how frustrating it is to go into another city, and then you've got your leathers and your helmet on, and you've got to carry it around in your arms while you're shopping, or wear it. So underground, in our underground parking, we have designated motorcycle parking spaces, and right across from the motorcycle parking spaces are lockers. Like you might find in a bus station or in an airport, you can put your leathers and you can put your helmet away and take the key, and now you can shop in leisure.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't think about that, but they see these people out on motorcycles and they never think about, you're right, you got to carry your helmet around, all your gear and everything else.
Unless you're equipped with one that you see with all the large saddlebags and trailers and everything else.
Hey, we're out here in RV country. You got any facilities for that?
Well, we have some day parking for RVs, very large day parking. Even if you got a huge RV with an auto tow behind, there's always a place to park. Of course, there's no services, but you can certainly park there and come and enjoy the entire complex.
So in other words, the way this thing's laid out, Gene, and I was listening to you describe it and show it a little bit to the people that you were giving a little demonstration to, is there are certain levels, I guess.
The entire complex is designed to give you a unique experience in every case, and there's two subterranean levels as well as a level above ground that you see. All our parking, 660 spaces provided for the SUVs and the motorcycles and the autos. That's entered from one side and circulates the mothership and exits out on the main road 285, as well as the RVs. They come in through the back. There's 20 slots for them to park. All emergency vehicles. The entire project will have state-of-the-art life, fire and life safety, and including the all accessible ramps, double switchback ramps, ADA.
And your handicap facility is right in the center of a spiral staircase. I heard you mention that.
Yeah, most of your handicap parking is up near the front there, and it's accessible to the front in the into the lobby way. But what you're alluding to is the spiral staircases that come from the subterranean parks that have a little slotted and elevator lifts in the center, wheelchair lifts. So
fun idea. In fact, you guys have spent a lot of time. Tom, I thought you told me one time you said you guys sit down and met each other the first time with a cup of coffee and a pen and a nap. You must have ran out of space pretty fast.
It's just a real short story. Gene walked into my retail store one day to buy a little alien gift. And I usually greet people at the door, where are you from and what do you do and that kind of thing. And he said, oh, I'm an architect. And I said, oh, well, I've got an idea. And he said, no, he said, I'm just not doing that right now. And okay, I can respect that. But I have an idea. Maybe one of these days we can get together and have a cup of coffee. He couldn't entertain me that day. But another day, months later, he came back to the store for something else. And he had time for a cup of coffee. So we went over to the coffee shop next door at Not of This World Coffee Shop, sat down, and as I'm drawing on a napkin, the proverbial draw the picture on the napkin, he starts cocking his head and looking at it and asking me questions. Well, where's this going to go? What about this and what about that? Well, I knew it's just nothing more now just to reel in the fish.
Yeah, right.
I mean, he was hooked.
And Gene, you've been living and breathing this thing.
Yeah, for the last 2 years. And it's a symbiotic project. The both of us, our minds come together on it. That's what makes it so important. You couldn't do it without the two of us. It was kind of one of those things that happens and only works in a special way. It's what we call the heart and soul of the project. Many times things are done and it doesn't have, that's part of what I had to do with concepting through the years, all these restaurants and hospitality operations, is you have to build the concept from within. The soul has to be there, and then the rest of it follows it. I explained to Tom one day, I says, when we get along here, eventually the project's going to tell us what it wants to be, and then you have to follow the path rather than fight it, and that's what happens.
Anyway, you're still as enthused about it as you were probably that first time you heard about it over the cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah, more so. We've entertained it into a...
Now, you have more than one phase planned, I think.
Yep, there's three, and then there's four. There's another area that we hadn't described to you earlier, too, but the phases that are in it now, the major parts, the 14.7 acre, and then there's a phase two and a phase three that has to follow. The phase two is important because, as I mentioned, you had three different levels. There's a subterranean A, subterranean B below the parking we talked about, where all the administration area is and where all the tunneling and access for services, things that people don't see. And then to support that, that's a lot of dirt you have to take out of the ground. So it's actually a volume of 273,000 cubic yards will be displaced taken to this to the phase two site, where on that site in the future is our project, is a what's going to be supported by the revenue portion, which is what we're building now, is the non-revenue portion, which is the research academy.
So I mean, there's a serious aspect of it.
Very serious aspect, because everyone in the genre that we've talked to, they all agree the same thing. There needs to be a center for a lot of this brought together. There is various centers throughout the country, but not a specific center. And why not Roswell, where everyone, you know, generated all the activity for the, you might say, the layman that hasn't been into it before? You know, they all think it, Roswell became international. That's what it's known for. So rather than fight that, that's where we're going with that as well.
When we talk about these phases, when's the first phase going to open?
Well, what we're looking at right now, it's not a matter of when we actually break ground. It's a matter of when we really have a projected opening, and that would be July 07. And of course, as you know, that's the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident.
So the timing's working out pretty good, even though you probably originally, when we talked to you, you were hoping you get to open 205, 206, something like that.
Oh, yeah, you know, you can't wait for Christmas, you know what I mean?
I had a reason for asking both of these fellows when they fly airplanes, and probably some of my listeners figured out my angle already. I wanted to set that up because we're in Roswell, the home of UFOs. Either one of you guys flying around see a UFO?
I've never seen one flying. I have driving.
You have?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Many, many UFOs around here.
And this was after you got to Roswell or before?
I've never seen a UFO in my life until I got to Roswell, honestly.
Well, maybe that's a, you know, maybe we can get the Chamber of Commerce to buy some hats here. If you want to see a UFO, move to Roswell.
Either that or have your eyes examined.
How about you, Gene?
Well, I thought I had a couple times, but you later on find out that what you actually observed was a satellite, or what you actually observed was some of the parts and pieces coming back into the atmosphere.
Well, we've had reports of things like that.
When I saw one thing once in Wisconsin, it appeared to be a large, I thought it was a large airliner. But then I saw it go behind a cloud, and the cloud was much larger than an airliner.
Right, I understand. Now, when you know, so you had an interest at least a little bit about UFOs, or you probably wouldn't have been here.
Many years when I was growing up, I wanted to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And then my eyesight didn't come to par, so that didn't come to be. But I always wanted to be a fighter pilot and an astronaut. Like anybody else does.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be the X-15 pilot, and I cried when I found out that somebody already did it.
Yeah, right, I understand. So this not only, it's kind of a marriage of your backgrounds and the practicality of what it needs and a need for Roswell, because, when Roswell suddenly started promoting this, for many years they kind of ignored it. And then there really weren't enough facilities. Just like this weekend, there weren't enough rooms here for enough people.
There's a spread of things.
So you're going to have these year-round events, and especially the 4th of July event too. But people come from all over the world here to Roswell. Is it true that in one of your restaurants you designed a little thing like they have in Star Trek, where you kind of punch in what you want to order? And
that's called the Galley Fine Dining Restaurant, and that's in the mothership. That's the largest building on the complex. And what we're going to have there is that we have people from all over the world come to Roswell, and so we're going to recognize that and celebrate that. And what you'll have as an example, I'm just sort of giving you a little thumbnail sketch here, like a flat screen TV, so to speak, and you select the language. If it's Italian, French, Japanese, whatever you want, you select the language, it converts the entire menu into that language. Now you've got the picture and you've got the text of how that food would be prepared, and you just touch screen the button on the screen, and you can order right there directly to the kitchen without anybody misinterpreting your order with a pencil and a piece of paper.
Now, do you have a robot bring it out?
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
We could go on for hours about this, so we only got a few minutes left. Basically, what would be the most important thing you'd like to bring out in this interview, Gene?
Probably the fact that this really has to be an icon for the city is what we talk at when we give presentations to the city members and economic development people. That the present icon now for Roswell is IMRUP's Military Institute. That's Gothic Revival, and that's been kind of the symbol in academia, and then he subsequently did the courthouse down there. But the icon that the whole world sees Roswell is still the 1947 crash incident and everything else. So we'll have an icon that represents that. It'll be environmentally sensitive, of beautiful buildings. It'll flows aerodynamically with the ground. It's some place that will be identified, just like you identify the Eiffel Tower with Paris, the London Bridge and the Big Ben with London, the Arch for St. Louis, Golden Gate for San Francisco, the Space Needle for Seattle. That's that kind of a symbol, so it can grow from that.
Okay, it's pretty hard to get to Roswell. That's the reason they had it here. Have you guys talked to any of the airlines about maybe getting some better service? Not that the service is terrible here, but it's not...
Well, we have a beautiful airport with a beautiful terminal that's underutilized. Oh, yeah, it used to be the major Air Force Base.
Walker Air Force Base.
Yeah, and...
Second largest air
runway in the United States of America, yes, right here in Roswell.
Yes, so you could handle any kind of craft.
You bet. I mean, if you got a 747, bring it on.
Immediately, what rises to my mind is tour group.
Exactly. Now, I did talk to the airport manager, have had a couple of conversations with him, and he said that they're ready and they're willing, and when the need is there, I'm sure the airlines will drop right into Roswell.
So. You know, that's right. You probably will get that. We are going to have to wrap this up here in a minute. But, Gene, before we do that, I want to concentrate a little bit on you since I had Tom by himself last time. You mentioned discos. You've designed lots of discos and entertainment places. Are you going to have a disco place in this or a dance place?
I've done about 42, I guess it was, yeah. Last count. In our third phase, phase three, involves another hotel called The Wave, and then just below will be a real full-size nightclub discotheque called The Bunker, which is going to be subterranean.
Yeah, and hence the name. And I'm going to have some you have the high-tech things. I know, for instance, you've worked on all kinds of audio and acoustics things and design in getting this ready, and even fog machines, I think. I think you're going to use some fog technology, for lack of a better term, on your major event there with the light show.
Oh, on everything. There's going to be fog involved with what's in the Galaxy Garden that they had mentioned. That's the replication of a biosphere that's inside the mothership that would close up when they go and take off.
And the garden, what's going to be in there?
The tropical planting. Mm-hmm. And there'll be reception areas for receiving host groups. There'll be live grilling out there for barbecues and so on. They would have cocktail receptions and go to the rooms. There'll be weddings being hosted out there and receptions up in the meeting rooms. There's meeting rooms on Deck C, which is where the banquet rooms and the restaurant is, as well as the luxury suites are on Deck C. A and B deck is where the spacious cabins are, as we like to call them, 400 square foot cabins. And the lobby level is 304 feet in diameter, so you've got an area of 2 football fields.
Yeah, I started saying that sounds pretty big.
It's very big. And then below that, subterranean, is the total administration complex, our proposed MUFON offices. A complete world-class spa.
Yeah, now this spa sounds kind of interesting. You tell me a little bit about that. I overheard you talking to somebody about what you were designing there.
Well, when you enter, it's what a lot of people may already realize that have been to a world-class spa is that you have a unisex area that's in the general area in the center, and then you have a women's area and a men's area on the other side. And we have, for each side, we have complete fitness rooms, men's and women on each side. We have sets of dry saunas on each side. We have the shower rooms on each side, separate steam rooms on each side. And then in the center, we have a 38-foot diameter hydro massage pool with a rain ring around the curtain that you have to enter to get inside of that for some privacy. Lounge chairs all around that, juice bars. And then there's the vision pool. As you enter in one area, the illusion is on an infinity pool that we have there, all subterranean, and we're going to be projecting images on the wall to give you the illusion that the sun is setting right on the edge of the water like an ocean. And then in the night part, we'll have the moon passing between the clouds and setting, and then in the day and the morning, sun rising and the sun throughout the clouds in the daytime.
So you've given a lot of thought to every bit of this, really.
It simulates a little bit of the holodeck that you see in the Star Trek. A lot of these images were someplace to go and to
Like, in fact, I guess actually, as you walk up to a door, it'll open just like Star Trek.
All the doors in the rooms will have proximity chips. So that's part of your check-in. Whether you have now, you have cards that you struggle with, and you're working the door, and you're trying to do this while you have an armful of bags and clothes and everything else. In our case, you'll just walk by the door, and they're pocket doors, is what they're called, but they're electronically controlled and motor-driven, so they'll open right up. So all you have to do is carry your luggage down the hallway. If you got your chip on you, your door will automatically open up.
So it's kind of like in Oklahoma we have pike passes where it seeks out the little thing on your car and lets you go through. And it's the same deal, huh?
Similar to that. And it's just like you use a charge key. When they used to have keys, now it's all plastic and so on, where you charge everything. You go throughout the complex. You go up into the... to the command access, which is actually our, which would be the command center of the mothership, but it's actually the control area. And you have a bridge up there above the regular lounge area that serves cocktails and drinks, and it oversees the navigational dome, which is the projected star charts, which is how it moves the ship. And then we have our reality monitors, which everybody is going to enjoy. We're doing everything what people like now. They're so much into reality TV. Well, we have cameras surrounding the entire complex and every nook and cranny. So they, when they sit in the lounge, the whole thing is surrounded by a giant 80-foot diameter ring of screens where they can watch images that are happening all over the complex. They'll be able to watch their kids down on the hangar in the Warp Speed Arcade when they know they're supposed to be up in bed in the room.
Well, everybody's going to like that but the kids. No, I'm kidding. Tom, we're almost out of time here. You expect this first opening around July 1st or so, 2007?
Well, that would be the ideal place where we would throw the dart, July 07.
You got a website. Let's give it and they get information. And
EarthStationRoswell.com. EarthStationRoswell.com.
And somebody that would like to find out more information about this, you've got all the facts and figures and whatever. They can get a hold of you. They can walk in the store if nothing else.
They can come down to Roswell at 205 North Main and talk to me directly. Now, of course, when Air Station Roswell is going, I'll be a big shot, you know.
Yeah, I understand. You're going to move up in the neighborhood.
We'll be moving some things around. The room we're in right now is within the Roswell Landing. When you come to Roswell that you've been broadcasting out here, this is the visitor center for the project. And that's why you see the images all around the wall. All the concepts and the blueprints and things.
Yeah, that's the reason I was trying to get around to that. Gene catches on. He knows how to plug something. That's good. No, they're welcome to come in here and look around. And like I say, either one or both of you are welcome to, you welcome the chance to explain your project. And I certainly understand, you know, your enthusiasm, because it's really going to be very, very incredible.
And you have the invitation to come and broadcast next year. Hopefully, if things go well, we'll be in a hospitality trailer up there at the project site alongside the contractor's trailer so that you'll be able to broadcast from there as it's being built.
Well, we'll probably take you up on that. We'll see. Sounds interesting. Sounds like fun. Thanks very much, Tom and Gene. I've enjoyed it.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jerry.
And we'll see you in Roswell, if not before, definitely next year.
I'll be here waiting.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.